Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. I wanted to make one quick announcement, then we'll get into the lesson. It was brought to my attention. I meant to tell Steve this, and I forgot to. Miss Lou Leatherwood has been in the hospital. Evidently, she was having some dizzy spells, and she was taken to the hospital in Memphis. My understanding, she is back home now. But if you will say a prayer for her, and I know that she would appreciate that very much. In this country, we confuse the terms need and want. I know that I find myself doing that from time to time. I will say that I need something when the truth is, really, it's just something that I want. Now, parents have to deal with that a lot when it comes to their children, especially as we're getting closer and closer to the Christmas holidays. That word need gets thrown around more and more. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes as we become adults, we don't outgrow that habit. I can remember being taught in school the basic needs that we all have. Those needs of food and clothes, shelter, water, air. But then in college, I can remember studying in psychology classes some deeper needs that we have as individuals. The need for friends, the need for acceptance, the need for companionship. You know, the Bible even talks about that need all the way back in the garden. After creating Adam, God said in Genesis 2:18, "It is not good that man should be alone." And we see that in our society. One of the things that I never watched this show, but it came to my mind as I was preparing this lesson, the theme song for a show, Cheers. And I don't know how many of you ever watched the show, but the theme song, when you hear it, it's one of those that it sticks in your head pretty quickly. And the lyrics say, "Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name." The whole point is that people want social interaction. We want friends, and God made us as social beings. Charles Swindoll, a denominational preacher, in observing this fact, made this statement. He said, "The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit that there is to the fellowship Christ wants us to give His church. It is an imitation, dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people secrets and they usually don't tell others or even want to. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. So many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers." This evening we are looking at the idea of friendship. And not at this counterfeit idea of friends, but we want to notice the real deal. And the way we want to do that tonight is by briefly noticing six characteristics of a friend. Six characteristics that are essential if you and I are going to be friends to others. Six things that we need to look for in those who we would call friends. Why is this important? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verses 9 through 12, Solomon writes, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though he may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Solomon says that if we go through life, it's easier if we have those around us that are our friends. And as Christians, we need one another as we go through this life. So how can I be a better friend to you? How can you be a better friend to me? What qualities do we need to have? Let's notice together six things briefly, and then the lesson will be yours. Number one, we want to notice the fact that a friend is faithful. A friend is faithful. I want a friend who is going to be there for me. I want someone who, when I look around, they're there when I need them. Back to our lesson text, verse 10, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion." I want someone there who is faithful to catch me, to help to lift me up. And if we're going to be friends to others, we need to be faithful to them. We need to be there when they need us. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, Solomon writes, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You know, many times we focus on that first part of that verse that, hey, if you want to have friends, you have to be friendly. But notice the end of that verse. In the end of that verse, it talks about a friend who's not only friendly, but is faithful. One who sticks closer than a brother. One who is there in good times and in bad. One who is there no matter what comes our way. If you want to be a better friend, if I want to be a better friend, I need to be faithful. And as I look for those to be my friends in life, I need to focus on those who have that characteristic as well. Number two tonight, we want friends who are righteous. Friends who are righteous. The word righteous simply means to live right. And I want friends that are living right. And that's important. We talked about that some this morning in our lesson. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, we made mention of this verse this morning. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We want someone who is moving in the same direction that we are. We don't want someone who's going to pull against us. We don't be caught in a tug of war with someone. If they're not wanting to go to heaven, if they're not wanting to walk in that direction, well then we need to turn loose so that we can do what is right. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Amos asks the age-old question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, the answer to that question is no. If Micah and I are together and we're holding hands and I want to walk this way and she wants to walk that way, can we walk together? No. What has to happen? Someone has to change their mind, so we're going to walk that way. Some of y'all got that and you realized which direction. Micah definitely got it because she gave me the look. We need people who we agree with, who agree with us, who are wanting to go to heaven, who are living righteous lives. It's a very interesting verse in Proverbs 27 and verse 6. The writer says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." I always thought that's a really neat verse there. That yes, sometimes friends may say things that hurt our feelings, but those wounds come from a place of wanting what's best for us. Whereas those who might not be our friends, they'll, "Hey, you're great, everything's wonderful." When really there are things that we need to change. We need friends who are righteous, who are going to help us to move in the right direction. And when we're moving in the wrong direction, they're going to tell us so that we can change course. What do we need to be as friends? What are we looking for? We need to be faithful and righteous. And number three, I would suggest we need to be inspirational. We need to inspire faithfulness in those around us. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." In other words, we need to be friends who make others better. And we need to look for friends in our lives that will make us better. We want to find those iron friends that will help to sharpen us, that will make us better, that will inspire us to greater faithfulness. And we need to seek to do that in others. We need to remember it's not about us. It's not about them. But it's about the Christ. And that is who we want to elevate. And if we're elevating Christ, then we will be elevated as well. We need to be friends who are inspirational, who inspire others to greater faithfulness. But then also, number four, we need to be engaging. Back to our lesson text, we read again, "If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." We need someone who is going to be engaged, who is going to be there to help, one who's going to stand with me. We probably all had situations in our life where we had someone who we thought was a true friend. But then bad things happened and we looked around. Where'd they go? They're gone. They're not there when we truly needed them. And we learned very quickly that individual wasn't really a friend to me at all. That individual was there for the good things, but they weren't there for the bad. I think about the prodigal son when I think about this aspect of some being friends. You know, the prodigal son, he got his inheritance from his father. He went off, the Bible says, that he wasted it with prodigal living. Don't you know that the prodigal son had lots of friends there at the beginning? No doubt, as he was spending money and everything was wonderful, no doubt he had many who would gather there with him. But when it was all gone, so were they. And he found himself all alone in a pig pen feeding swine. He had friends who were not engaging. They weren't really engaged in his life. They were there for the good times, but they weren't willing to stick around for the bad. If we're going to be a true friend to someone, we need to be there for them in all times. And we need to look for those who will be there for us. Number five tonight. If I'm going to be a true friend, if I'm going to look for a true friend, I need to find someone who is nurturing. Someone who is nurturing. Back to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We understand the concept of nurturing. Someone who helps to build an individual up, who helps to bring them along in difficult times. And we need that aspect in our lives. Both we need it from others, and we need to be willing to give that to others. We need to be nurturing. And then finally, number six tonight. We need to be devoted. We need to be devoted. I want a friend who is going to be devoted to me, as I would be devoted to that individual. To be there no matter what. Proverbs 19:4, I like this verse. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. It goes back to the idea of the prodigal son, doesn't it? No doubt when he was wealthy, he had a lot of people that were there for him. But once he became poor, he was separated from those friends. Well, the truth of the matter is those weren't true friends. Those weren't people who were devoted to that individual. We need to be a friend who is devoted. That the shifting time's not going to keep us from doing what is necessary. I have a few friends in my life that I see very rarely. Life circumstances, I'm thinking about one individual that I roomed with for a semester in college. He was one of my fraternity brothers. He attends the Hoover Church of Christ. Time has separated us. We've gone in two different directions. He lives in Alabama. I live here. He's a lawyer. I'm a preacher. Our paths just don't cross very much. But every now and then, I'll give him a call or he'll give me a call, and we pick up like it never ended. It just picks up wherever we left it off. I know that if I ever needed something, I could call him and he would help me in any way possible that he could. And he knows the same is true of me. There's that level of devotion there. And that's what we need to have for others, and that's what we need to look for from others. As we come to close tonight, I want us to notice something about these characteristics of a friend. And that is the fact that there is one man who has all of these characteristics to the highest degree. And that man is Jesus the Christ. Friends, he is faithful. Numerous verses talk about God and likewise Jesus being faithful. Hebrews 13:5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our Savior is faithful to the highest degree. He is righteous. 1 Peter 2:22, who committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. He is righteous to the highest degree. Our Savior is inspirational. 1 Peter 2:21, backing up a verse, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He inspires us to greater faithfulness through his example. He is engaging. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He says, my purpose is to intercede for you. I'm there, I'm engaged, I'm ready. The bad times comes, I'm there to go to God on your behalf. We have a Savior that's engaging to the highest degree. He's nurturing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We understand that we love Him because He first loved us. Jesus gave His life for us. And then finally, friends, He is devoted. Psalm 37 and verse 24 is one among several of my favorite passages in the Psalms. The psalmist says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand." And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I have at times. You're walking along with your child, and my kids are getting older. This doesn't happen as often, but you're walking along and one of them stumbles. And mom or dad, have you ever had that moment they stumble and you just pull up? You keep them from falling, right? Why? Because you're holding their hand. You uphold them with your hand. That's the picture that is being painted here in Psalm 37:24. We fall and God yanks up. He says, "I've got you. You're not going to fall flat on your face. I've got a hold of you. You're not going to be utterly cast down," as the psalmist writes it. "For I'm upholding you with my hand." We sing the song sometimes, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one." Let me ask you, is He your friend this evening? If He's not, He can be. If you're not a Christian, you can become one tonight. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin and repentance, confessing that belief before those who are gathered here, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. I realize that many of you have done that. Let me ask you, is He still your friend this evening? Or have you allowed sin to separate you from Him? Friends, remove that barrier tonight. God loves you. He wants you to spend eternity in heaven. Christ died for you. He wants to be your Savior, but we have to live for them. Are you doing that? Friend, if you need to put Him on in baptism, if you need to come back to Him, whatever your need is, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come right now as together we stand and sing.